message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
In you we live, we move, we have our being. And of your fullness we have received grace, gift upon grace. Thank you, Father, for unto you shall the garden of the people be. We look unto you, and our faces shine. We are not ashamed. Our expectations are not cut off. Thank you, Lord, for all of our days you've been faithful. We give you praise for this. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' name, we've worshipped. Church, can you please celebrate the music ministers? Come on, celebrate them, celebrate them. Thank you so much. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, keep celebrating. Keep celebrating. Keep celebrating. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Hallelujah forevermore. Amen forevermore. Need some volume. Amen forevermore. Hallelujah forevermore. So glad to be here. Amen. All right. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. For all of our lives, you've been faithful. You've been so awesome. We give you thanks. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the indwelling spirit. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the gathering of the saints. Thank you, Father. Now today, again, according to your word that says that we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. For where you said there is gathering of brethren in unity, you command the blessing. Thank you again because we are here. And our hearts and our minds are opened to be educated, to be led, to be strengthened, to be fortified, to be established, and to be instructed in righteousness. Now we receive your word with meekness, setting apart every superfluity of nonsense, and we declare that the word we hear today, we will not just be hearers alone, but we're going to be doers. And be blessed indeed. In Jesus' name. To the church, we shout a bigger amen. Amen. Glory to God forever. Turning your Bibles to Colossians 4. We're going to continue the teaching we began last week titled Ecclesia. Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. In verse 15, the Bible says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And when there's a epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistles from Laodicea. So here we see Paul writing to the Christians in Colossae and those in Laodicea, and he sent it to them, all right, and tells them to, you know, exchange note, that they should share note, that let read in Laodicea should be passed across to the church in Colossae, and vice versa. So that tells you that primarily the epistle was primarily written to a gathering of the called out ones, the church. We defined church last week to mean from the Greek word ecclesia, and we said ecclesia is a compound word from two different words. That is ek and lesia. Ek is E-K-K. Lesia is L-E-S-I-A. And the E has a bar on it. So it is pronounced as lesia. So ek means the called out ones. That means the ones that are born again. Set apart. The ones that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the ek. Then lesia is the called out ones. So that means ecclesia, church, means a gathering of the called out ones. And I told you last week, Pastor, there is no such thing like I'm born again. Since I'm born again, I'm just going to sit at home and then I'm just going to watch T.D. Jakes. I'm going to watch Kenneth Copeland. I'm going to watch, you know, Joyce Meyer. And then I just read my Bible and pray. And then I have a great time in church in my house. No, you didn't have no church. What you had was just a devotion. He had no church, because the church is ecclesia, a gathering of the called out ones. And Jesus, you know, shows us a very powerful example I showed you last week, how that whenever he tells us to meet, there is something definite per time. They go from strength to strength, everyone that appears in Zion. When we gather this way, we're not gathering for social gathering enough. No, not for social gathering. We gather because, you see, we communicate spiritual matters, spiritual things to one another. There's a drinking together. There is something that we are partaking of. When we gather like this, we're not gathering unto ourselves. We're gathering unto Him. So, Bible says in the book of Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, not to forsake the gathering of the saints as the manner of some is. So, God faults the manner of missing our gathering. He faults the manner of not coming to the gathering of the saints. He calls it bad mannerisms. God faults it. So, our gathering is of great importance. And I showed you last week that one of the primary reasons why our gathering is of great importance to God is because of its significance. And because of the sacrifice that He had to go through to make our gathering possible. Now, I told you, you know, sarcastically, but so true, jokingly so true, that the relationship between you and the individual sitting next to you is more important to God than the relationship you have with your blood brothers and blood sisters. And the reason is very simple. I know you've heard the common saying that blood is thicker than water. But hey, the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you is a supernatural relationship. We are bound together by spirit. Spirit is stronger than blood, if blood is stronger than water. And I gave you a very perfect example from the Word of God. That all it required for you to have a relationship with your blood brother and blood sister was two individuals who loved themselves, you know, and they were in the other room pecking, kissing, and then you were the product. And then your sister was the product. And then your younger brother was the product. So the relationship between you and your blood brothers were products of pleasure. But the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you, brothers, it wasn't a product of pleasure. There is nothing pleasurable about death. Jesus died to secure the relationship between you and I. Don't forget in the book of John 12, verse 24, Jesus said, a corn of wheat, except it dies and it abides alone, but when it dies in the furrows of the ground, it will bring forth harvest of many seeds. In other words, Jesus' death gave birth to us. I showed you in the book of Matthew 16, from verse 18, the Bible says, Jesus, referring to Himself, said the gate of grave will not prevail against the church. So He died as Jesus, but He woke up as the church. And that's why Romans 6:3-4, Colossians 2:14-16 help us to see that when He died, we died with Him. When He was buried, we were buried with Him. And when He rose up, we rose up together with Him into newness of life. Shout amen, somebody. So that means our relationship is supernatural. It's not natural at all. And it's not emotional. Of course, emotions can be involved, but listen, what binds us together is stronger than blood. And one of the things I want to point to you today, I have two objectives today. I have two objectives today. Number one is, I want you to see what primarily one of the things we were called out for. And I want to give it to you. Listen, in Christianity, we were called out for joy. We're called out for a joy life. Listen, a very great point you have to know about Christianity is that we weren't called out to suffer. Now, that's why you have to get your definitions right. When we say we are suffering for Christ, you have to know what you're suffering for. And you have to know the context of suffering. There's such a thing as sufferings of the saints. So, but listen, I want you to get this point. We are called out for a joy life. Then secondly, I want to help you see that we are called out to serve one another for God's mission. Oh, I think I'll be able to touch this one in second service. But please, I really wish you, if you are not doing so much after church, I want to implore you to wait for second service. Because I'm going to be talking about this particular one. But apparently, surely I'm going to be talking about the joy life. So God's idea of ecclesia is that He called us out for a joy life. I mean, for instance, a figurative teaching in the Old Covenant about our gathering, about the church, is what you're going to see when the children of Israel left Egypt. When they were in Egypt, they were under the taskmasters. Now, listen up, look up everybody. This is figurative of the kind of servitude of life That's why Romans talks about how that we were once servant of sin. Now we have been redeemed to be servant of righteousness. We were slaves. Listen. That was a picture of who we were before salvation. That the taskmaster were just, you know, hard on us, telling us to go and do what we were not given the materials for, to go and make bricks without giving us the straw. Are you listening to me? So that was a picture of the life the man, the natural man, was living. He might have cars, he might have G-Wagon, he might have GMK, he might have whatever you think, he might have a private jet. But listen, he's a dead man on two legs walking. Because he is cut off from the life of God. He is alienated from the life of God. He might feel like he's enjoying. To him, enjoying is sleeping with two ladies having threesome. That's not enjoyment. That's death. He's fellowshipping in death. It's not enjoyment. He might think taking vodka is enjoyment. But for the man in Christ, we take God car. Alright? We speak in tongues. We spell ourselves. He might want to hide by going to take 501, trying to take all this damn nonsense spirit. He's just taking methylated, you know, alcohol. But you see, for us in Christ, we have a higher way to live. We've been called to a higher life. And this higher life is a joy life, not a gloomy life. A believer should not be there having a gloomy face all the time. It doesn't matter what you're going through. That shouldn't dictate how you feel or how you express your face. Your demeanor should not be a product of what you have or what you don't have. I showed you that last week. That you see, we are not to be rated based on what we have or don't have. We have something bigger. So the man in Christ, who were called out like the Egyptians when they were like taskmaster to the Israelites. The Bible says when they left, you know, that day they had this lintel on their lintel. They had the blood of the lamb. And then when they left Egypt, that night they threw a party. And that means the death angel passed over them. So in the same vein, that was just to explain what happened to you at salvation. You passed from death to life. The death angel has passed over you. John 5:24. You have passed from death to life. Now you are a child of God. And the lamb that was figurative, this is typology, types and shadow. That means, you know, to figuratively speak of the redemptive work of Christ in aoristic terms. That means in the future. And in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, Paul made us know that lamb that they killed, that they put its blood on the lintel of their house for the death angel to pass over, that lamb was figurative of Christ because Christ is our Passover. So when they left Egypt, God commanded them in Exodus 12. He says, from today, you must keep having this celebration. He called it a feast of Passover. That means it is figurative of the life that we should be having in Christ. Every day is supposed to be party for us. That means we ought to be living a joy life. Look at this. I want you to see how Jesus preached the gospel so that you know what I'm talking about. Open to Matthew 13, everybody. Matthew 13. You have to run with me because time is fast, and I've got a couple of stuff to share with you. Matthew 13 and verse 44. I want you to see how Jesus preached the gospel. In Matthew 13 and verse 44, the Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hided. And for joy, someone say for joy. For joy. Oh, you say like you mean, say for joy. He says, your salvation is like when a man finds a treasure in a field. And then when he saw the treasure in a field, he didn't tell nobody. He didn't want nobody to take it away from him. So what he went out to do was he went to sell all that he had. He went to sell all that he had to buy the field. He says, for joy. Look at it. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure in the field, which when the man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he has, and buyeth that field. For joy. I've showed you this a times without number. That you see, God is so enthusiastic about your salvation. So much Bible reveals that there is joy, there is party in heaven for one soul that repented. That means the substance of the party that is happening in heaven right now is the moment a soul is saved. The moment a soul is saved, they throw a party. Everybody's rejoicing. Why? Because of the significance, because of how powerful it is. So, you see, the substance of our joy life must be a reflection, all right, about how that God, in His infinite mercy, in His benevolence of love, came down and, because of you and I, became man, died as a credence for the payment of our sins. In Romans 14:17, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Let me tell you the context here. Alright, he was talking about how some were still arguing about, are we supposed to eat this? As Christians, are we not supposed to eat this? Talking about law. He says, listen, the kingdom of God is not about do's and don'ts. It's not about regulation. By the way, apart from being given regulations in this New Testament, we're not giving rules of do's and don'ts. We're not giving the regulations to follow. We're giving the regulator. The Spirit Himself comes to live in us. So He pilots our desires. That's why He says, I will take away the stony heart. He was speaking metaphorically. I will remove the stony heart and I will put my Spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Shout amen, somebody. So doing the will of God for us is not something that we are trying to memorize. The Lord, thou shalt not. The Spirit of God is inside me. So He causes me to do that which pleases Him. Philippians 2:13, He says, for God is at work in me, giving me the willingness and the enablement to please Him. That is the man in Christ. Can you see that? So He was saying, look, it's not about drink, what to eat, you know, ceremonial law. He says, the kingdom of God is not in do's and don'ts. He says, both in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody rejoice, somebody. Someone, you didn't rejoice like that. I said, rejoice, somebody. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. And can I be honest with you? One of our major aim in this church is to help everybody in Cornerstone Christian Center to see the surpassing delight of Christ above all else. So you were called into a joy life. And this is very simple. Somebody's like, well, what is he trying to say? Is he trying to say, I should stay joyful all my life? He know what I'm going to. Listen, can I be honest with you? To be happy all your life, one primary thing you must do is this. Pay attention to this. If you are still doing all this, and you say, sing, yes, I get a dress like this. If you are still living that way, you're going to be having the graph of your joy life undulating. Because, can I be honest with you, to stay joyous all your life, you must hijack the power of your joy from ephemeral things. See, simple economics in school will tell you that wants, desires, needs is insatiable. And resources are what? Limited. Don't be deceived. So for you to stay happy, you must hijack your source of joy from natural things. This is very simple, isn't it? Come on, this is simple, isn't it? In secondary school, you know what I'm talking about. You want to get that sneakers, Nike, with a Nike sign on it. Then you want to save up for it, man. I like. Then, you know, I was a basketballer, so all my big guys, everybody wearing nice Michael Jordan shirt. I want the one with my name on it. You got it! Until one day you saw somebody wearing the same thing as an automobilist on the roadside. I remember when I was also in secondary school, you know, I used to be a Tupac fan. I rap anything. I mean, there is no lyrics of Tupac. I used to be a Tupac fan. So I had this shirt, all eyes on me. And I bathed my hair, skin, you know, all eyes on me. You know, all my shirt, the singlet, boxers, everything, all eyes on me. Until one day, I saw a madman with all eyes on me on the road. So I said, what in the world is this? Or it could even be this way. You want to, you will just, you place your happiness on, man, I want to get my first car at 25. Man, I want to get the Mercedes. And then you got it. And then the next year, Mercedes-Benz releases another grade of it. Oh, then your happiness deflates again. Even in 70s, like phone. And can I be honest with you? Tech companies are so smart, they know how to toy with your emotions. They will not put a particular feature on the latest one. Next year, they will put that feature. Maybe it has four cameras. I don't know. Some phones now has four cameras. Like, wait for me. So the idea, look up. The idea is to keep you searching for why. Because, let me be honest with you, they know that they will always sell. Why? Because you can never be satisfied by ephemeral things. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. You can never be satisfied by natural things. So to stay happy all your life, the brilliant thing to do is to hijack your source of joy from natural things and place it on Christ. That is the only way you can keep your grasp permanent. And one of the things you will even prove to know if you are growing, as you've been coming to Cornerstone Christian Center, one of the ways you will know if you are growing is you should be able to draw the graph of your spiritual life, the graph of your joy life. Because, listen, joy is a parameter for measuring an impactful ministry. It's a parameter for measuring spiritual growth. One of the ways you know you have grown spiritually is when what you have or don't have does not affect your joy life. That's one of the ways you know you've grown. You got 8 figures in the account, it doesn't move you. You're thankful to God for it, but it doesn't change you. It doesn't change your commitment to God, your commitment to soul winning. You don't start seeing people, you know, that you used to revere as, you know, you don't get proud. Do you get what I'm saying? These are pointers to spiritual growth. And if there's anything I'm happy to do or to be able to do or to have the Spirit of God do through me, is to help you grow. It's to help you grow. Like Paul in Philippians 1:25, he says, I hope to abide with you for your furtherance and joy in the faith. To the church in Philippi, he says he wants them to grow spiritually. And then he wants their joy life to grow. You should be able to draw the graph of your joy life. Can I be honest with you? If you are in this church for 1 year, and you can't see any impact, any growth in your life, please just go. There are two things that will be responsible. It's either the preacher was not preaching well, or you have refused to be responsible to grow. Because, listen, growth is not automatic. Growth is deliberate. It's deliberate. And of course, it is discernible. You should be able to discern between a 2-year-old child and a 10-year-old child. You can tell the difference. It's not an abstract idea. It's not an abstract theology. No. When somebody is growing spiritually, you will know. So you should be able to draw the ground for spiritual life. Listen, you are called, and one of the pointers is joy life. Why are you hungry? Why? Why are you not happy? Why? I need to change my car. Why? Is that why? You are bigger than these things. Oh, look at Judy Kay. That Judy Kay song. Something more than gold. I have something more than gold. Listen. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter 1, it says to an inheritance incorruptible. Oh, do you know what we got? Do you really know what we got? Jesus one time says, what shall it profit a man if he owns the whole world? Listen to me. Owning the whole world is quite a feat. Do you understand that? He says, if a man owns the whole world and loses his own soul, what shall it profit him? In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, if you have the whole world, do you know what that means? That means if they get all the money in African bank, all the money in Chinese bank, all the money in American bank, if they liquidate it and send it to your account, it says it is still not enough to purchase your soul. And for you to have the whole world, that's quite a feat. Even Alexander the Great, who conquered the world almost, did not have the whole world. Now, imagine if you have the old world. Jesus is saying, it is still not enough to buy your soul, a saved soul. Do you know who you are? You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? You got something bigger than money. You got something bigger than God. Are you hearing me? This is who you are. So this should determine your joy life. Never a doom day for me. Never a gloomy day for me. Never. You're going to see me try to expand my face. If you see me serious, maybe I'm serious studying. You can see me serious. What's wrong with him? I know. It's been longer. I ate meat in this house. It's fish. I'm tired. Shut the trap. You got fish? Give thanks to God. I don't know. It's been long. I took milk in this house. Hey! Are you a cattle? Or are you a baby? What's wrong with that? So, well, no. Somebody's there in the mirror. Send the mirror. I don't like this, my nose. Well, if you got big nose, take more hair. What's that? Oh, see, after me, I'm a joyful man. Look at Jesus. Because when we talk about joy, people feel like, does it mean every day is Christmas or every day everybody will be happy? That sometimes you have things. It's true. You are correct. In fact, look at what Jesus said in John 16. John 16, verse 33. Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That means Jesus is not trying to tell that there won't be things in this world that will pose or that will attack your joy life. There will be. But if your joy life is fixed on something that does not move, then you know that no matter comes your way, you give God the glory all the time. And that's why Apostle James tells the church, Pastor James, he says, count it all joy. James 1:2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. He now says, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. To the church in Philippi, Paul wrote to them in Philippians 4. Turn your Bibles there, Philippians 4, everybody. Philippians 4. Say after me, I am called to a joy life. Called to a joy life. I remember those days. I could just wake up, I'd just be rapping about Jesus. And I'll just be playing the soundtrack of DMX in my head. Yeah, you look at me, I'm a child of God, born again, full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going out now looking for souls to save. You see, I just rap about the goodness of God. I'm just joyous. You wake up in the morning, you're taking your bait, everybody's like, you're just making noise in the bedroom. Verily, verily, you are good. Verily, verily, you are good. You pour water. Oh, what I call this money. Oh, very terrible. You are good. I mean, you get out of there. You're putting on your pomade. And then you're just there, you know, taking your, I'm so good. I'm so glad you saved me. All of my life, you've been so good. I mean, you're done that way. Jennifer, good money. Oh. Just melody in your heart. See, the Bible says singing melody in your heart. It's not all about vocalizing. It's talking about singing it in your heart. You're going to classes. Sister Blessing, good morning. I was, what is the word? You don't eat jackpot? Yeah, I ate jackpot, but something more than jackpot. Why is he happy? Has he bought a car? Yeah. I got a car, but something more than car. What's wrong with him? Has he bought a house? Yeah, I got a 10 million naira house in Maitama, but no, something bigger than that. Something more than gold. Look at it. Philippians 4. Look at what Apostle Paul says. Thank you, Pastor. Philippians 4. And verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what?
Rejoice.
I'm just dancing and praising. It doesn't matter what comes my way. The greater one lives inside of me. His name is Jesus. Come on. Huh? Yeah. More than victorious. I'm an heir of his kingdom. Come on. Filled with the Holy Ghost. I rejoice. I rejoice. Yeah. I think I'll give my daughter's name Rejoice. If you're very Rejoice there, you got a good name. Anyway, everyone's got a good name. But look at it. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. He now says, look at it. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He now says in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7, now, he's telling you that even when you are anxious about things, there is no way you are going to be insulated from tendencies to be anxious about things. But it tells you when you pray to God, there's a way God replies your prayer. Look at what it says. It says, and the peace of God. Someone say, peace of God. Say it again. Peace is not absence of trouble. Peace is tranquility of soul in spite or in the midst of troubles. You can't just explain why you are just so happy. Internally, there's just this joy. There's just this ease on the inside. You're not worried. You're not bothered. It's a training, my friend. It's a training in faith. Especially now that we live in a very sensual world, it's a training. You have to train yourself to cast your eyes off from natural things. And never let them be the perimeter. Never let them be the yardstick for measuring your joy life. Look at it. He says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. I have a few things to say, but I have to close now because time is fast spent. But open to 1 Peter, see something. Let me show you something in 1 Peter so that you know what you've been called into. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter, are you there? Chapter number 2. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. Say after me, I'm called to a joy life. Somebody say, see, do you know that you can, it's something that you're not trying to get from the blues. It's not something you're trying to, you know, squeeze out from unreal space. Joy is in your spirit. You just have to find the embers of it. You find the embers. I don't know if you have ever cooked with this coal thing before. Or I don't know if you went to a boarding school where you use coal iron those days. You can have wonderful coals in there. But if you don't fan it, all right? You know one of the characteristics of oxygen we were taught in primary school, you remember? I don't know if it's a practical in primary school, okay? All right, where they put that thing, press it, and then the hair. One that does not have hair, the stuff will burn out, right? Because one of the characteristics of oxygen is that it rekindles a glowing splint. Right? You know what you're looking at, right? Yeah. It rekindles a glowing splint. That means it will rekindle. That means it will set ablaze a glowing splint. That means, listen, that, have you seen a red hot coal before? When there is less oxygen, what happens? It dies gradually. But when you fan the embers, all the smoke, all the ashes, we do what? They'll fly off. Then you have the red, and you produce the hotness. Are you listening to me? The joy is in your spirit. You just need to fan it. Look up, everybody. You can fan it. Just wake up in the morning with a sense of gratitude. You know, one of the best definitions I got for gratitude was from the woman of God, Joyce Meyer. She says, gratitude means grateful attitude. And she also went on to say that unexpressed gratitude is ingratitude. Did you hear that? You know, you can be grateful in your heart for what God has done. I'm just thankful in your heart. But if you do not say it, as far as God is concerned, you are still an ingrate. Because your words vocalizes the intent of your heart. Words are what expresses your thoughts. What you're saying was once a thought. Thoughts are what your mind runs on. So when you speak, you are speaking of your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you don't vocalize, like the issue with the 10 lepers, only one came back. Notice, Jesus asked, where are the 9? Now, obviously, somebody who was once leprous and is now healed, he's going to be grateful in his heart, isn't it? But Jesus expected them to come back and give thanks. And one of the signs of the end times, the Bible told us, is unthankfulness. So, you see, you must learn to wake up in the morning. You can stir up joy. Look up. This issue people talk about mood swings. Listen, you can pilot your soul perpetually on the joy life. Or in a joy direction, rather. You just wake up in the morning.
Thank you, Father. Lord, I give you praise for today.
Oh, my mom. You see, you can just stir it up. You shut the door. You just dancing there. You just giving thanks. You just dance that way. Hello. You just dance that way. Or is it Solomon Lange? You just. There was one song like that. Somebody was playing. My neighbor. It was on a high pitch. I was just listening to it. Something. Menaida kasoniaka. Menaida kasoniaka. Abunde yapi godia. I was like, wow, amazing. Some people don't know how to sing. And I'm not talking about how sonorous your voice is. I'm talking about singing melody in your heart. Listen, you don't have to be a chorister to sing. Every believer should sing. Look at even God sings. He sings about saving you. Zephaniah 3:17. He says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. He was prophesying. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. That's a prophecy about Emmanuel, God with us. He says, he shall save. Has he saved? Talk to me, has he saved? He was prophesying. He says, he shall save. He will redeem. He will rejoice over you with singing. That means God was already singing about saving you before he did it. Before he ever saved you, he was already dancing and singing about saving you. Now that he has saved you, he expects you to join in the joying, in the singing. Even Ephesians 2:7-8 tells us that in the world to come, God is going to show. That means the world showed you. That means God is going to flaunt how he saved you. Because your salvation to him was a big deal. It was a big deal. Look at 1 Peter 2. Oh, I need to stop. I still have about 4 pages. I have to stop. Now I have 7 more minutes. I want to keep to time. You know, I have repented of time consciousness so that second service can start 9:30. Amen forevermore. Amen forevermore. 1 Peter 2. Trust me, I won't beg for more time. I'm bigger than that. Beg for your time again. Keep your time. Media, trust me, I'm begging for no time. 7 more minutes, I'll keep to it. 1 Peter 2, everybody, let's go there. 1 Peter 2, he says, but ye are a chosen generation. Hallelujah! Yes. Ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. That means you are a king and a priest at the same time. A royal priesthood. An holy nation. A peculiar. You are God's own purchased special person. Do you understand? A peculiar people. Look at it. Now, he called you. Look up, everybody. Don't miss it. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Don't miss it. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. That. Now, this is the reason why he calls you all those names. This is why he called you half from the world. Look at it. That is the what? He wants you to flaunt the praises. How do you flaunt his praises? Singing, shouting, rejoicing. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you what? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he called you to rejoice of what he has done. Because he says he brought you out to bring you in. That's what he told Moses. He brought you out of Egypt to bring you into the promised land. And that happened at salvation. So you are more than literally redeemed. You are actually recreated. You are a new creation. You never existed before. Are you hearing me? You are only you. Oh boy. Oh, thank you, Father. I say thank you, Father. Let me stop here. Say this after me. I'm loved of God. I rejoice every day. I'm loved of God. Listen, if you've never experienced this joy in your life so forever, never before, it's two things. If you hear this gospel that we're preaching and it does not spark joy in you, it's either you are not saved. Because not to stay joyous is actually satanic. Once you are not joyous about the news of the gospel, about what Christ has done for you, if it does not spark up joy in you, it is either you are not saved or Satan is on your case. Because look up, everybody, we saw in scripture how Jesus rebuked Peter and he was rebuking Satan. When Jesus was talking about how that he was going to die, that he will be buried and he will raise up the third day, Peter began to rebuke him and says, "Never, I forbid you to die," and stuff like that. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou savoureth not the things that be of God." That means the moment you lose taste for the things of God, the message of the gospel does not interest you. It's either you are not saved or Satan is on your case. He's toiling with your soul. Because 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 tells us that if our gospel is hid, that means if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now listen carefully, don't miss this though. It says if our gospel is hidden, let me use the contemporary English. If our gospel is barricaded, it is barricaded because of those who are lost, whom Satan, the God of this world, has blinded their eyes, so that they will not see the glory and the beauty in the gospel. When we preach about what Christ has done for you, about how that you are redeemed, about how that you are born again, about how that you have a hope of immortality, and you are yet to see the beauty and the glory in that message, then it means that Satan is blinding your eyes. Satan is on your case. It also could mean you weren't literally born again. So you were called out for a joy life. See, what Christ did for you is enough to inspire a perpetual joy life for you. The graph of your joy life should never undulate. A Christian should never be sad. I have not said that a Christian should never be faced with a saddening situation. Mm-mm. I have never said a Christian should never be faced with worrisome issues. Mm-mm. But the response, look up. Oh my God. Can I get an empty can? Give me that can there. That can. That one beside. Please give it to me. Minister Noel, come with this. Can you empty the water in that one, please? Quickly. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I have 2 more minutes. Please stand here. Just stand here. No, you can return this. Just return this. Return this. This table, return it. I want you to check out something. Just to let you know what I'm about to say. Look at this. There is water inside, right? Come on, talk to me, right?
Yes, sir.
I want you to pay attention. There's water inside, right? Is it feeling anything?
No.
Huh? So much pressure. And I'm really trying now. Can you feel anything? Is the container feeling anything? Why? What can you see? What happened to it? Little pressure, right? So it's not about the pressure on the outward. It's about the... It's about... Listen. It's not about the pressure outside. It's about the emptiness inside. The emptiness in this thing made it to respond to pressure is destroyed. But you see this guy? He's full. That's why you have to be full of the Holy Ghost. All the time. No pressure. No pressure. You are 35 now. You need to marry. No pressure. You see? All your mates are... No pressure. Unmoved, unshakable. All the pressure doesn't stop me. Shout at me, somebody. Rise on your feet, somebody. Glory to God forevermore. I sing of your joy. I sing of your love. Come on. That the whole world would know your name. I'm ready to go. Announcing your mercies and your faithfulness. I live for you, Jesus. I glorify. Oh, Father Heart Abba. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you praise. We adore you. Lift your hands towards him and just adore him. Just adore. Just pray in tongues, worship him. Just worship him. Oh, thank you, Lord. We've been called for a joy life. We've been called for a joy life. We've been called for a joy life. Oh, Talamana Koto Sobdo Kobra Halabada Hala. Oh, Bratalabada Hayaba Koto Sutti. Mantele Brokote Libaraka Talabada Bakaya. Hey, thank you, Lord. Come on, thank him. Open up your mouth and just worship him. Just thank him. Oh, Father, la bada bada ya kabada. Oh, Rabata kalabade ke la bada da ya ya baba. Idaro do shalima, he la bado sadai shalimando. Arada do satana baya. Oh, manteli bata la kaya de ya. Oh, oh Lord of glorious sacrifice. I am thankful.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.